Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome into RNIB Tech Talk, first heard on RNIB Connect Radio each Tuesday lunchtime at 1. You can catch us again Thursday evenings at 9 and Saturday tea time at 5. If you prefer a podcast, just search for RNIB Tech Talk in all the usual places or ask your smart speaker to play RNIB Tech Talk. I'm Dave Williams. Don't forget, of course, RNIB Tech Talk, it's the community's opportunity. It's our chance to get together and share what we've learned throughout the week about the world of technology. We're always keen to hear from you. You can get in contact in all the usual ways, but our favourite, it's email. Good old-fashioned email does what it says on the tin. So techtalk@rnib.org.uk is that all-important email address with your text emails, or even how about a voice note? We'd love to hear your voice and get you on air. So that's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we'll be finding out how useful are AirTags really? Do you have one? Well, Hubert's going to be taking AirTags for a test drive. We'll also be catching up with Jackie Brown from RNIB's Technology for Life team, who will be telling us all about Daisy players. And we'll be checking in with some of your listener emails as well. So stick around. It's another episode of Tech Talk. Welcome in to our co-hosts, Hubert Pavalkovic and Callum Stoneman. Gentlemen, how are we?
Not too bad, Dave. Not too bad.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, thanks. Yeah, good to be back.
So, let's talk technology then. Hubert, what's in your in tray this week?
I mean, technically I have a few pieces, but I'll go with one of them and see. And if Callum doesn't go for the other, I will mention it as well. But the one major one, of course, is September 12th. Apple event has been announced.
Yes.
Which it's going to be exciting. I will be in Virginia while this is on, but I will try my best to watch it because there'll be some interesting things. Hopefully, well, the usual things announced, but be interesting to see what the new devices will have. So that's probably one of my main exciting pieces of news, amongst others.
Is it? I'm going to play devil's advocate, Hubert. I mean, is it really exciting? Slightly faster processor, slightly better screen, slightly better camera. I mean, we seem to have that conversation every year. We're getting USB-C ports. You know, some would say long overdue. Other people will moan because then all their lightning accessories will need dongles. What are you excited about?
I think I always like to, like I said, I'm hoping for a surprise is what I'd say. I mean, yes, you've got a good point there when you say, you know, say faster processor, better camera is most likely a theme. But I'm interested to see what will happen. You know, I'm interested to see whether some products will get long overdue more improvements. You know, will the Apple Watch get any more improvements in the 9th? Are they going to wait for the 10th generation to really make it a bit better than what then? Or different to the lineup we had so far over the last few years.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. Callum?
Yeah, I think the Apple Watch is the one that I think could surprise us. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they wait for the 10, like they did with the iPhone. You know, it was the iPhone 10 or the iPhone X, however you pronounce it, that was the kind of big, you know, redesign with, you know, Face ID and all this other stuff. But there's been a lot of buzz about watchOS. What version are we on now? Is it watchOS 10 that's coming out in September? And that's apparently the biggest redesign of the software since. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's new, you know, maybe some interesting hardware coming to go with that.
Well, we will wait and see. I'm always a little bit sceptical. I can't help feeling like we get sold, you know, sort of iterative updates, refinements, slight tweaks. You know, I was a bit disturbed a couple of years ago. Somebody told me they were going to upgrade because they really wanted the new Dynamic Island. I just don't know if that's a reason for me to spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds on a new smartphone. Yeah. It's still going to, you know, work on social media. Yes. And, you know, if there are accessibility benefits, you know, the action button sounds like it could be quite an interesting one. How configurable will that be? You know, could you use your action button to call somebody on Be My Eyes or Aira, for example? You know, that might be a real accessibility benefit for some people. So we will wait and see. Callum, what's in your in tray?
There's more soundscape news, would you believe it? This one's quite interesting because we've had a few versions of Soundscape. We've had OpenScape, which is still in beta, Voice Vista, which is my current favorite, and then Good Maps Outdoors have put their own little spin on it. As we've said before, they've integrated it into their app. But the big news that kind of came out last week is that the Scottish Tech Army, great name by the way, have got involved with Soundscape, and they've brought back, basically they've brought back the original Soundscape for now. So the Soundscape that we all know and love, the new app that they've just released is, it's identical. It's absolutely the same, right down to the name. So they've still been able to keep the Soundscape name, which is good. And they're looking at taking this on as well and working with it. And they've got quite a few big organizations involved. So they've got some involvement from, obviously, the Scottish Tech Army are part of it. There's also been some involvement with guide dogs here in the UK. So this seems like it's a bit of a, I mean, it's very much worldwide, but this seems like it's a kind of UK development. So it's interesting. I worry a little bit that we've got almost too much choice in this now, because this is kind of three, potentially four versions of Soundscape that we've got going on. But it's interesting to see where this is going now that it's open source, you know, and so many organizations taking this on. I think their focus for now is just bringing back the original. So, you know, they're not adding new features just yet. They're just giving back, you know, people who don't want to go trying a new app and, you know, a new name and new buttons and new interfaces and all that. They're just bringing back what we've lost, basically, for now.
And is it available on the App Store? Can you get it today?
It is, yeah. If you just go to the App Store, search for Soundscape, loads of different things come up that are not related. So I got a load of apps about things like sleep sounds and things like that. But it should be easy enough to find. It's called Soundscape, and it's the Scottish Tech Army is the developer. And yeah, that's available on iOS. Still no Android support, unfortunately. I don't know if that's going to come. But yeah, it's on iOS and it's free. So yeah, you can go and grab that and try it out. And if you know Soundscape already, then it'll be like it never went away. It's spot on.
Indeed. Something else we need to mention, I think, at this point, of course, throughout the month of September, we are celebrating 20 years, gentlemen, of R&IB Connect Radio in its various guises. 20 years young. And we will be having a couple of special Tech Talk programs later this month, looking back and looking forward. So if you're nostalgic about an old piece of tech that maybe you were using 20 years ago, we'd love to hear about that. And where do you think technology is going from an accessibility point of view? And where might we be in 20 years from now? What are your hopes and fears and dreams and wishes? Let us know. The usual email address for all of that, it's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Well, thank you very much, Hubert. Callum, stick around. It's Tech Talk. I don't know about you, but I can never remember where I've left my keys, my phone, my wallet. Always putting stuff down and thinking, where on earth did I put that? And of course, if you're sighted, you can just sort of glance around and grab the thing that you just put down. One device that promised to help us track our stuff is the Apple AirTag. And we have talked about how you set the AirTag up here on Tech Talk previously, but how useful is it really? Well, here's Hubert to find out.
So let's talk tracking items. Last year, we've showed you how to set up an Apple AirTag, and earlier on Tech Talk in last week's episode, I believe, I told you that I bought myself one of them for traveling purposes. So I've been experimenting and I've been looking at how useful they are when it comes to finding and tracking lost items. So this is what we're going to cover briefly today. So what I will show you is two ways of navigating to an AirTag, one using directions and how it works and how effective it is or it could be, and how to find it using the sound, how loud the sound is, and you'll be able to hear it in all locations. All will be revealed. First of all, we're going to show you some directions. So I'll open the Find My app on my phone,
And before we carry on, what I will say is this phone is an iPhone XR, so it does not have LiDAR function, which allows the phone to use a LiDAR sensor to be able to navigate to objects with more precision. So this will potentially affect this demonstration, and this is something we'll talk about later. So here we go. So I have Find My open. It did tell me the location first, but naturally that is something I will not reveal. Let's describe the environment first. We are in my house. I have placed my AirTag upstairs somewhere. Now I know obviously where it is, but we're downstairs currently.
Selected items, tab 3 of 4.
So we've got the items tab. Now the tip here is that you will most likely get stuck in a map view here on this screen if you not explore the tabs. So you can swipe left and right, but if you get stuck in a map, you'll be swiping left and right for a while. So my recommendation is you move your finger around the screen until you find the item you want, in which case is the AirTag for this demonstration. So I'm going to do that now.
Hubert's backpack, home, now, with you. Actions available.
So there's my AirTag, my backpack. Let's double tap.
Battery charges 100%.
So it tells me the battery charge is 100%.
Battery charges 100%.
Another thing to keep in mind here, there seems to be an issue or a bug of some description where VoiceOver gets stuck on that, so you might need to just touch somewhere on the screen to explore and get away from that. Now, here you've got the same issue, you've got a map. And you want to be careful not to get stuck in it. So again, it's touching around the screen to find the option you want. They are near the bottom of the screen, so that will make it a bit easier. So let's see what we've got.
Notifications.
So we've got notifications. You can swipe from here on. So let's go to the right.
Notify when found. Dimmed. Switch button off.
So that's notify when found. That function at the moment is switched off, mainly because the lost mode has not been enabled.
Selected. Notify when left behind on button.
So there we go. That's a useful function if you, for example, walk away and forget to pick up your item. So it's useful in most cases. Sometimes it can happen when you leave it intentionally, for example, on one floor of the building because you need to go to a meeting a few floors down and you'll get a notification going, no, you left it behind. So yeah, that's worth keeping in mind.
Lost mode. Enable button.
So lost mode and then the enable button. So if you enable that as lost, there's a few things that you'll be able to obviously track your AirTag, but also if someone finds it and if they bring it near their phone, they should be able to find contact details if you've added them. So that's one option potentially, but I've not tried that one myself, so I'm not sure how effective it is or how that actually works.
Rename item.
You can rename your item.
Remove item.
And you can remove it. So let's go back the other way and see what we've got.
Enable lost select notificate directions with you button.
The directions button, it says it's with me, which we'll go to in a minute.
Play sound off button.
And play sound, which we will also show you in a minute. So
directions with you button.
Directions. Now the item is with me, which technically is true because we're in the same building, but because of this, how are you gonna find it? Now we will double tap on directions, bearing in mind I have done this already before, but I want to show you what happens and why you need to keep this in mind. It's opened us Apple Maps.
Avoid, but walk, but reorder 30 sec, walk, button.
So,
avoid, button, 1 minute, zero it, button.
It's currently saying we're 1 minute away, obviously that's not true in this case. And you've got the go button, so you can start the route. So we'll do that and see what you hear.
Starting walking directions.
So it has started walking directions. Now, usually near the top of the screen would be an instruction as to where you have to walk to find it. Let's tap in on the top of the screen and see if it tells us anything.
Map, proceed to the route, start.
So it says proceed to the route, start. Now, it's not a very clear direction. Why that is, I'm not sure, but basically we're not actually getting directions. Could it be that because the AirTag is technically close enough to me that it can't direct me? I'm not sure. Could it be because the phone hasn't got LiDAR function and therefore it can't really give me precise direction? I'm not sure. But if you've got a LiDAR phone, how about you tell us what happens when you do it if you've got an Apple AirTag? So, what happened when I did it in the office is it would give me haptic feedback still, despite no direction, if I got closer to my AirTag. So, although it was not the most helpful, it still gave me that haptic feedback. Now, this is not what's happening here, because I'm currently walking closer to the AirTag's location, and I am not getting haptic feedback again. It could be because of the reasons I mentioned above, but that could be the case. So I'm currently walking towards my AirTag, and as you can hear, no direction is being mentioned, or no haptic feedback is being given. So we're walking into the room where I left my AirTag. We're about to walk up to the backpack where the AirTag is. There it is. Backpack here. With the AirTag. So no directions. Now, there we go. So this part, probably not the easiest way to find it. Could it be different if the AirTag was further away? Possibly. Again, that would need some further testing. If I had an iPhone 12 or above which has LiDAR, could I then get better, more precise directions? Possibly. If you've got an iPhone with LiDAR, do let us know if you've got an AirTag and you get a better experience with directions. Now we have done directions. What we want to see is how effective is the sound that the AirTag plays when you enable it. So, I've got my AirTag here. I'll take it out of the pocket that I've situated it in. It's in a shape of if you ever had minstrels, this is exactly what the AirTag's shaped like, but a bit bigger. So a device of that size, as you can imagine, technically might not make the loudest sound. I'm going to show you what sound it actually makes. And keep in mind where we are. We are in a house with nobody else in it and not much other noise going on, so it's very quiet. I say keep this in mind because it will have something to do with the sound. So,
lost selected. Notify notification directions. Play sound off button.
So we're going to play sound, and you will hear how loud it is when we're right next to it.
Play sound connecting.
So as you can tell, it is fairly loud, as long as you're in a quiet enough location that it won't be drowned out by other sounds. And that's the key to mention here. It's very loud if you've got it, and if you're in a good location, you'll be able to find your item. But when it's in a location where other sounds might drown it out, that's when I feel there might be an issue. So, how loud is it really, and from how far can you hear it? Well, we're about to do some testing on that. We are back downstairs, and we're going to once again play the sound. Now I've got the button focused here, but what I will do is actually turn off my speech.
Speech off.
So we can not hear the speech when we tap the button, so we can clearly hear where the sound is coming from. So, we are still in a quiet-ish house, there's a fridge running in the background, but apart from that, not many other sounds. So let's see if we can hear the AirTag. Now, I don't know if you've heard it, but I've just about heard the AirTag, so it's good enough for this to identify that the sound is clearly somewhere far away, so we need to now try and walk further somewhere and see if we get closer to the sound. So I will leave the kitchen, and I've walked into the lounge, and what I'm now going to do is press the button again and see if the AirTag sounds is louder. So I can hear it a little bit louder, and just about work out that it's probably not on this floor. So I will walk into the hallway now and press the button again. So I can hear it's coming from direction of upstairs. So I'll walk up the stairs and press the button again and see if we are getting closer. So, we're upstairs. Press the button again. So, there There it is. So I can now walk to where I think the sound is coming from. I'm in the room where the AirTag is, and I want to know where in the room is it. And we found it! There it is. So to summarise, based on this demonstration, it seems that the easiest way to find the item that has an AirTag attached to it is via the sound effect. You can use directions, but it simply depends whether an iPhone with LiDAR functionality will be able to provide you with directions full stop, because that's not what we got with a phone without LiDAR with my iPhone XR. The sound effect is good, but can you hear it in a busier location? Can you hear it if it gets drowned out by other sounds? It's fairly prominent in a quiet location, that's guaranteed. But I do wonder whether it would be easier to hear or harder to hear in a busy location. For example, if you're at an airport and you want to know if your suitcase is near you on the conveyor belt, how will that look? What will that look like? And also, is that sound going to be locatable pretty well when it's muffled by other sounds, or maybe by a thicker suitcase? Well, that's the problem, and that's the few questions that are worth discussing. So, let's finish this demonstration and have a chat with the rest of the Tech Talk team and see what they think.
So there are essentially two features there, Hubert, with your AirTag. You can make it beep so you can hear where it is, and your app will sort of tell you roughly where you left your thing that is attached to your AirTag. Of course, there are pros and cons with both of those. The beep's quite quiet, isn't it? Did you find that easy to hear?
If I was in, basically, I've done it, you know, it was a quiet room where I left the AirTag with the item, and I could just about hear it. I will say the sound is, some people could say, louder for the size, for what they'd expect from the size of the device. But I do think if not in a very quiet place, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be able to hear that beep unless I was in a room with no sound.
Yeah, and Callum Stoneman also joins us now. Callum, would you use the AirTag? Do you use the AirTag? I remember you talking about it here on Tech Talk a while ago. Is it part of your everyday? Do you put an AirTag in your kit bag when you're out and about?
Yeah, I do, and it's been one of them things where it's been, I've definitely got them and I do use them. I've got one attached to my house keys, and I've got one in my backpack that I use for work that's got all my, you know, laptop and braille display and headphones and all that kind of stuff. It's been one of them occasions where I've got them, but I've not really needed to use them massively. I use the beep quite a lot on my keys, but most of the time that's been just at home, and I'm, you know, I can't remember, did I leave them on the side or are they still in the front door? Touch wood, I haven't lost my keys out and about yet. And same with the rucksack as well. But yeah, that beep does worry me a little bit. If I was in the office, or if I was in a, you know, a cafe or something when I've gone out for lunch, I do wonder, yeah, would I be able to hear that? Especially when it's in the bag as well, and it's the materials kind of muffling it as well.
Yeah. And of course, the other issue, Hubert, you've got to attach them, haven't you? Because when you receive your AirTag, it's just like, I don't know, it reminds me of a big sweet or something, like a mint or something like that. You know, it's just smooth and almost like a little kind of, I don't know, flying saucer sort of shape. And you really have to get some sort of holder or attachment so that you can connect it to your things. It could very easily become separated. And of course, if you were somebody with ill intent, the first thing you would do is separate the AirTag from the valuable item.
Of course, and that is a concern, because at the moment, where the AirTag I was demonstrating does not have an attachment. It's literally in a pocket of my backpack because I've not bought an attachment yet. So, yeah, that is an extra cost on top of the AirTag, and costs of these attachments vary depending where you choose to buy them, let's just say. So, yes, that's definitely something to also keep in mind, because, yeah, the shape of it, if you've ever had minstrels and the sweets minstrels, it's literally like a giant version of that.
Okay, and of course, AirTag is not the only tracking device in town. There is Tile, of course, and a few others besides. So let us know, how do you keep track of your stuff? Have you got an AirTag? Have you used it? Do you find it useful? Any good? We'd be keen to hear from you. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovich, thank you very much. A long-standing jewel in the crown here at RNIB has been, of course, our Talking Book Library, first sent out on those big discs and then later cassettes and USB drives. And then Daisy came along and, well, hang on, what's Daisy? Well, here to help us understand all about Daisy, some of the ways you can access Daisy and the benefits, is Jackie Brown from RNIB's Technology for Life team. Welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio, Jackie. Good to have you with us. You are a huge audiobook fan, and it feels a little bit to me like we're getting the band back together, because you and I did a programme for the BBC about audiobooks not that long ago.
We certainly did. Hi, everybody. I mean, this is a really good time at the moment for Daisy players. There are some new ones, and there are some updates to sort of software on older ones. So it's a good time to be dipping into the world of Daisy again.
Okay, so let's just back up the truck a little bit though, Jackie, because not everybody understands what Daisy is. So what is Daisy, and why do we need to know about it?
Daisy stands for Digital Accessible Information System. And Daisy books are a great way of navigating books by heading, by chapter, by page, and, you know, even by word, by sentence. Just, you know, the granularity in moving through a Daisy book is really key. And a lot of RNIB talking books, most of them are now Daisy format. And it just makes it so much easier, particularly if you're studying where you know, perhaps need to reference some material and you need to find out what page number it is for a bibliography and things like that. So Daisy is a really, really good system. It's been in operation around the world now for several years. And that's why I think the Daisy players are so important, because people, you know, like to use their Daisy player to listen to Daisy books and other MP3 books as well.
So people who've been listening to Talking Books for a long time will remember cassettes, you know, and of course, if you fell asleep while the cassette was going, you'd have to rewind, you know, and try and find your place and move forward and backwards. And then, of course, when CDs came along, of course, we had the ability to, you know, skip by track. And obviously, depending on how the Daisy book is authored, then you may get other levels of navigation as well. And there are lots of different ways in which readers can receive Daisy. You know, we used to have discs. I think USB sticks now are still available. Some people like to listen using a dedicated player, and that's really going to be our main focus of the conversation today. But there are also apps available. So if you have a smartphone, you can download and listen to a Daisy book and navigate a Daisy book using an app on your smartphone. So where do you, Jackie, where do you get your Daisy books?
Oh, I tend to use the RNIB download service, the reading services. I really think that's just one of the best things that RNIB has ever offered its customers, is the download service, because you can download practically any kind of genre that you want, and you can also download them in BRF format as well, which is brilliant for Braille readers. So there is something on the service for everybody, and that's the way that I get them. We used to do the CD service, but obviously it has moved on at a good pace since then. So that's my way of getting them.
Mm. And so obviously we're going to focus on the audio Daisy side today. Of course, there is the Braille Library Collection, as you mentioned. Do you listen with an app, or do you use a dedicated player yourself?
I use a dedicated player. In fact, I've got quite a few of them. I have several Daisy players, but to be honest, they all have unique features, and there is always something on one player that I like over another player. So they all, in a way, have unique features that they bring to the table. I suppose, you know, the competition is quite fierce out there at the moment, because there are a couple of new ones, and, you know, they're offering more than just Daisy reading. They're, you know, they offer music, they offer, you know, audiobooks, Audible, and there are just so many other tools on these players as well now. So it is quite fierce, the competition, and it is something that I still enjoy using, is a dedicated Daisy player, primarily because I like the buttons. If the phone goes or the bell goes and I need to stop the book very quickly, yes, you can do that using an app like Dolphin Easy Reader on your phone. Yes, you can do that very quickly, but I still think there isn't anything quite like being able to press a button, an actual physical button on a Daisy player, pausing that and then rewinding ever so slightly. If you rewind in an app, yes, you can do that as well. You can bookmark as well. But the problem with rewinding is that you've got to listen to the screen reader on the phone as well as the book that you're listening to do that. Whereas on a Daisy player that's dedicated, you don't have to. You just rewind it ever so slightly and it doesn't speak, and then you just press play again. And it's just so much more convenient. That's just me. A lot of people say, well, why would you spend all that money on a Daisy player when you have it on your phone? And that's fair enough. But I suppose it's horses for courses, really.
Well, and battery life as well. I mean, goodness yeah. me, we've got so many things running on our phones at the moment. It's nice to know you've got a little bit of battery left to listen to your audiobook, right?
Yeah, that is true as well. And I mean, some people say, well, you know, you get lots of notifications on your phone and it can be rather distracting when you're reading a book. But I mean, you can put your phone into airplane mode so that, you know, you don't get the notifications. That's for me is not the reason why I like a dedicated Daisy player. I just like that quick navigation, that very instant press the play button to pause and rewind. I just think there's a lot to be said for it.
Right, so let's get into it then. Tell us about some of the dedicated Daisy players that are currently available, Jackie. Which ones have you been having a play with?
Okay, well, the new kid on the block is the Hymns Sense player. There are two flavours of this particular player. It is really, I would say, for the advanced user, because it offers a lot more than just reading books. It's a music player. There are lots of tools that you can use on it. There is something on it called the Smart Connect, which allows you to connect the player to your phone, whether it's Android or an Apple, and you can use the keyboard on the Sense player to navigate your phone, which is quite good. It's quite useful for some people, I guess. And there's also a mobile screen reader on the Sense player as well. So that allows you to download a certain amount of apps that Hymns recommends. And that can be quite useful. So all those features tend to make it a very busy, extensive book reading, music playing, podcast listening, radio listening player. It's a lot of things. And there are two flavors of the Sense player. One is with OCR, which is optical character recognition. It has a camera and you can take pictures of your mail and things like that, as well as all the other things it does. And there's a version without it, so it's slightly cheaper.
Right, okay, so you've got to make that decision at the point of purchase. It's not something you can add later on.
No, you either go for the OCR version, which is £680, and that includes a stand at the moment. There's a bundle, which is quite a considerable outlay for, you know, a dedicated player. But that comes with a stand. Without the stand, it's £645. And for the lesser version, which is just without the OCR capability, it's £475. So you can see that, you know, it's a considered purchase, Dave, to be honest.
Yeah, and you would really need to be taking advantage of some of those extra capabilities. You mentioned there a mobile screen reader, which suggests you could put on, you know, third-party apps and almost use it as though it were a phone in its own right in some ways.
Yeah, you can. Some of the apps that they've put on it is Audible, because at the moment the Audible is trying to lessen its availability with downloading Audible books onto these specialist players. So the Audible app is available on the mobile screen reader for the Sense player, and things like WhatsApp and Zoom, things like that are sort of going on it as well. So there is a lot to the Sense player, to be fair, for the money, but it is still a considered purchase.
And what's that experience like with Audible? Because being able to have push-button access to the Audible collection, I mean, that surely is a benefit.
It is. It's quite. I mean, once you sign in, you've got to sign in with your account, obviously, your username and password, and the keypad on the Sense player is really quite nice. It's like a telephone-style keypad. And you've got your cursor keys that you can move about as well. So it is straightforward once you get the hang of what you're supposed to do to log in. Once you've done that, then you can see your library and you can choose a book to download and read it as well on the Sense player, which is really useful. Another Daisy player at the moment, which has just been released this year, is the Victor Reader Stream 3. Now, people who've got the Victor Reader Stream, the old version, and the Stream 2, and the Victor Reader Trek, which of course is the Daisy player and GPS navigation combined, they're very excited about seeing the Stream 3. It's quite nice in size. It's slightly smaller than its predecessors. It's got rubberized buttons on the keypad. It doesn't support Audible. There's been a lot of discussion on the various forums about this, but at the moment Audible is not available on the Victor Reader Stream 3. It does have a good Bluetooth facility, so you can now listen to Bluetooth earphones on the Stream 3 as well. And of course you can do all the usual things like listen to podcasts, internet radio, music, all that kind of thing. The Stream 3 is priced at £420. So again, it's a considered purchase, but it is, I would say of the two, it's probably an easier player to navigate rather than the Sense player, because it the Sense player, as we've said, has, you know, a lot of accessibility and it's got a lot of bells and whistles, if you like. The Stream is very much straightforward, and it's, you know, it is what a lot of people like. They're used to using it.
Mm. And with some of these, if you're going to be using it in education, it might be, if you're starting university, that you might be able to get some funding through the Disabled Students Allowance to help with the cost of one of these devices. So did you say GPS, Jackie?
GPS is available on the Victor Reader Trek, which has been around now for a few years. It costs £725. So again, you know, it's a combination of the Trekker Breeze and the Victor Reader Stream. And that's why it's called the Victor Reader Trek. Again, is your Daisy player, music player, podcast listening, internet radio, but it also has the added functionality of GPS and maps and things like that on it. That has been available now for a few years and they haven't really updated it too much, but the Victor Reader Stream 3 is only a Daisy player, really. It doesn't have the Trekker Breeze part of it. They decided to separate them again.
So you've started at the sort of the higher end, Jackie. What else is available just now?
Okay, the Evo family, the Evo 10, that's EVO 10 and 12. The Evo 12 in particular, which is priced at $299, is a really nice, it looks like a DAB radio if you hold it in your hands. It's got stereo speakers. It has, its unique feature is, for me, it has an FM radio with a telescopic aerial on the back of the device, so you don't have to have headphones while you're listening to the FM radio. Most of the other players do. So the Evo 12 is a really, it's got multiple speech engines as well. So it's not just Ivona, Amy, Emma and Brian. You've got a cappella and you have vocalizer as well. So there are lots of different voices that you can choose on the one player. And it, again, it has, you know, the Daisy audio books as well, MP3 files. It doesn't have Audible at all. So there's no way you can customize it with audio, you know, books from Audible. Unfortunately, it doesn't support Audible. At the moment as well, it doesn't support Bluetooth either, which is a bit of a disappointment because the capability to have Bluetooth on it is there, but it isn't turned on apparently. And the company, which is a Chinese company, they're quite slow to upgrade and bring out new updates. So at the time that I'm speaking to you, there is no Bluetooth functionality on it. And that's a bit of a disappointment, but it is a really nice little player. It reads PDF documents for those people that struggle with PDFs. It reads PDF documents really well. And the Evo 10 is just its smaller sibling. It's slightly older. It's roughly the same price, $299. And again, it doesn't have Bluetooth and it doesn't also have the choice of speech engines, but it, you know, it is a nice little Daisy player and book reader if you want that kind of thing.
What's battery life across some of these players like, Jackie? Is it much of a muchness? Is it something you need to be aware of? Are all the batteries built in or are they user replaceable?
On the Evo, family, and the new Victor Reader Stream 3, the battery is non-replaceable. So you can have it replaced, I guess, but it would have to go to a dealer to be replaced. Whereas on all the other players, the battery is replaceable. You can change it yourself. I think in terms of battery life, the Victor Reader Trek that I mentioned, which is the combo of the Stream and the Trekker Breeze, I think the battery life in that is quite poor, to be honest. It tends to be less than 10 hours. Well, at least that's what I'm getting on a Victor Reader Trek at the moment. The Evo family, the batteries on those seem to last forever, which is quite good. You don't have to charge those very often. I guess, Dave, it depends how often you use it, whether you've got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth turned on some of those players. If you're going to be tanking it with Bluetooth with headphones, or you're going to be having your Wi-Fi turned on all the time and you're not in airplane mode, then of course you are going to use more battery life. It really varies. And I've got one more player to mention, which is the Milestone Ace 312 Wi-Fi. That's $399. And it's the tiniest of all the players. It's like a large postage stamp, really. It's got a very good speaker as well, a very good tiny speaker. Given the size of this player, the speaker on it is incredible. So, it's a Daisy player, music player. You can listen to your books on it in MP3 format as well. There is internet radio on it now, on Wi-Fi and stuff. There is Bluetooth on it as well, but there's no replaceable battery, unfortunately.
So is that it, Jackie? Any other Daisy players that we should be talking about at this point?
Well, there is the R&IB Accord, which is cheaper than the lot of them. It's a very nice little cylindrical speaker, I suppose you could say. It's a smart speaker with a USB port on the top of it that you can put your USB sticks in. There is a little bit of speech feedback when you turn it on, and also tells you when you charge it. There's a little wireless pad that comes with it as well, so you can charge it either through the USB connection or you can charge it through a little wireless pad. It's also Bluetooth, so if you want to go into your garden, if there is any summer left, and you want to listen to music outside or your book outside, you can pair your book player through the speaker of the Accord, and or you could listen to the Accord and a talking book on it through the USB functionality. So it's a nice little player, costs £50. What's not to like?
Exactly. You could have 10 of them compared to some of the others. Blimey.
You could.
Brilliant. I've got to put you on the spot, Jackie. I'm going to ask you, which one is your personal favourite and why?
I like them all for different reasons. I think value for money wise, although it's the most expensive, I do like the Sense Player because it offers so much versatility. I do like pairing my Bluetooth. I've got a pair of Shocks open fit sort of headphones, and I pair those with it, and I like it, the instantaneous connection. It's great, and of course the OCR part of it is useful, though I do use my phone mainly for that. But it's a good all-round player, and although it's a bit more expensive than the rest, I think it does offer value for money.
Well, I'm going to pick the Accord because I think it's very hard to beat the Accord for value for money. Great entry-level choice there with its wireless charging pad as well. So we do like that. You don't have to muck about, keep plugging stuff in and out. Well, Jackie Brown, this has been fantastic. A really good selection. And of course, there are other, options out there. And some people listen on their Braille note takers, and we mentioned apps as well. So if anybody would like to get in touch and ask more questions, maybe get some more details and find out a little bit more, what's the best way to do that, do you think?
Contact the RNIB helpline first and foremost on 0303 123 9999, and of course the Technology for Life team that I'm part of is always here to try and help customers. Maybe with a player that they've just purchased, or perhaps thinking about buying a player and wondering what are the features and which one to go for, because there's so many out there at the moment. So we're always here as well. And if you prefer to send an email, you can write to tfl@rnib.org.uk, and one of us will be happy to help you.
Jackie Brown from RNIB's Technology for Life team with your guide to Daisy Players. Thanks for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
We've had an email into techtalk@rnib.org.uk from Kelly that says, "Hi guys, I just thought that I would send you a quick email after hearing Hubert's review of the Samsung TV. I have an LG TV and it has some of the same features as the Samsung it does, but the LG has voice control feature on it, which means that I can tell the TV to turn audio guidance on or off. Hubert, does your Samsung do that?"
Now, I've not actually tried the voice control features. I believe it does have some options, and I think you can connect it to your A-Lady, I believe. But that's something that I might have to go away and try, because I'd be interested to see to what extent that voice control could control the TV, because that's always been my concern with voice control, is to what extent you can actually voice control a device.
Yeah, and the other point that Kelly points out is that the only problem with this is that it does require internet access So you might actually need some sighted assistance to get it set up in the first place.
Yes, I mean, it all depends, because I was surprised how easy it was to connect my Samsung TV to the Wi-Fi, where all I had to do is select my Wi-Fi network and it connected. But then again, I did have the Samsung SmartThings app connected to the TV already, so I'm presuming it recognized that and therefore did not require me to enter the password, because if it asked for a password, then yes, that could have been interesting.
Yeah, and of course there are other devices with voice control. Sky Q, I think, has a voice control. How about Virgin, Callum Stoneman?
Yes, yeah, Virgin does. You can do voice control, so you can say, you know, turn on audio description or turn on, I think it's voiceover guidance they call it on there. So you can turn that on and off using your voice control, and you can go to channels as well. You can do voice control for like a program search, so you can say the name of a program, but then it just kicks you out into the like Virgin Media overall content search, so you can't search, for example, Netflix using voice control. It would show you everything across the range of Virgin Media stuff, and voice guidance doesn't work there. So it's weird, isn't it? We're in a better position than we think sometimes with TV, but there's just so many moving parts. You know, certain brands have it, certain brands don't. Some of them have voice control, some of them have an app, some of them do this, some of them do that. It's a bit of a minefield, isn't it?
It can be. We've also heard from Rod, who writes, "Hello team, here's a tip with watching BBC iPlayer and taking advantage of the huge catalogue of audio described TV programmes available on the BBC iPlayer app for iPhone. Apple sells a Lightning to HDMI adapter cable for £49. This cable has a Lightning cable to plug into your phone and an HDMI socket to connect to your TV. Not work for ITV and Channel 4 programs, as they block the use of watching programs this way, as the iPlayer app on iPhone is far superior to the cut-down app on the Apple TV." Have you guys found that? I take your point, Rod, that you find the Apple TV app a little bit more limited, but have you found that to be the case, Hubert?
Not really. I personally like the iPlayer app on Apple TV. I mean, I've not noticed it myself. I use it perfectly fine, and I can browse pretty much the same content. I have to say, I've not found that personally.
It's a good tip if you find, I don't know, if you find the iPlayer app a little bit more accessible on the iPhone, or if you just find it quicker to navigate through that using the touchscreen, then you know, maybe it's worth doing. That is quite a nice tip, though. I'm kind of wondering, would you need an Apple TV for that, then? I'm guessing not, if you're just plugging in with HDMI.
I think that's a good tip. If you don't have an Apple TV, you can use that instead. That's another option to watch on TV.
Absolutely. Although, if you're about to upgrade your phone, you might want to hang fire just in case your new phone doesn't have a Lightning connector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good to hear from you, Rod. And Rod also mentions AirPlay as well, that might also be an option for streaming content wirelessly from your phone to your TV.
Yeah, I know some apps do kind of block AirPlay. So I know, for example, we use Sky Sports quite a bit. But yeah, you can't AirPlay Sky Sports content. I assume that's something to do with subscriptions, because there is a cheaper option of subscribing to just the Sky Sports app or the BT Sport app. But I guess if you could AirPlay, then, you know, you could just have a cheaper subscription and get around it that way. So yeah, AirPlay is good, but some apps more often than not will block the use of that, which is frustrating.
It is. Very quickly, back on the Apple TV BBC iPlayer app, with certain programmes on demand, you can arrow right from the play button and you get a play with audio description button, so it can make finding audio described content easier to get going. So you've got the category, of course, in the list of categories. You can choose audio described content, and then you get the, you know, the list of some audio described stuff. But if you're playing something just you know, randomly, if you try arrowing right, there may be a play with audio description button, and that can be a useful way to make that Apple TV BBC iPlayer app more accessible. But good to hear from you, Rod. We've also heard from Colin, who says, "Hi team, thank you for a very interesting program. Does the Zoom recorder bleep when you go from file to file or folder to folder?" Well, I can tell you, Colin, no, it does not. So something to be aware of there. Colin says, "This is the first email that I have sent with my iPhone. Please let me know if you have received this email." Yes, we have. And good to hear from you. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got it.
Thank you very much. And finally, from your emails, we've got another one from Kelly, who says, "Hi, gang. Thank you for a good show and podcast. You wanted to know what digital voice recorders we are using. And, well, I use the Victor Reader Stream, which is not talked about much. I understand that the third generation is on the market." Yes, it is, Kelly. "I use the Victor Reader Stream quite a bit. And I also have used the Microspeak, which I did not like." But Kelly doesn't tell us why you didn't like the Microspeak. Any other options, chaps, for recording? You know, we've talked about Zooms and some of the dedicated Daisy players. Anything else we should throw into the mix?
I'm not really sure. I just, that's a good point. I never thought about the Victor Reader Stream as a, because whenever I hear of it, I always just automatically think of playing books and, you know, playing content. But yeah, it does have a recorder feature on there as well. So if you've got that device and you're using it regularly for your books or your media, then you need to quickly record a note, then yeah, why not?
Indeed. And Kelly says that the Victor Reader Stream is also handy for recording a little shopping list as well, which can be handy when you're out and about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great stuff. Well, thank you so much, Kelly, Rod, and everyone for all your emails. We really do appreciate it. And we don't always include every single one, but we certainly read them all. So do get in touch with us. It's the usual email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. It's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And here we are at the end of another Tech Talk. Thank you so much for your company. From myself and the rest of the team this week, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovich, bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.